Thank you, Brother Lindsay. Let's take our Bibles now and turn to Matthew 21, if you will, please. Matthew 21. Today, of course, is Palm Sunday. Some might really understand what that means, some may not. We'll look at some of those aspects of it today. And I'm preaching a message on the public exaltation of Jesus Christ, the public exaltation of our Lord. Matthew 21, and we'll begin with verse 1. Keep in mind that we're dealing with the time when Christ rode into Jerusalem. And we're dealing with the time when the Lord Jesus Christ was able to publicly let others know who he was. We'll speak to that issue as we go through after we read these verses. If you'll look at Matthew 21, verse 1. And when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem and were come to Bethphage, we might say it Bethphage or Bethpage today. When they came to that place or the same area of Bethany, unto the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples, saying unto them, Go into the village over against you, and straightway you shall find an ass tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them unto me. If any man say aught unto you, ye shall say, The Lord hath need of them, and straightway he will send them. And all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, Tell ye the daughter of Sion, Behold, the king cometh unto thee, meek, and sitting upon an ass, and a colt, the foal of an ass. And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them, and brought the ass and the colt, and put on them their clothes, and they set them thereon. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees, and strawed them in the way. And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, Who is this? And the multitude said, This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth, of Galilee. And Jesus went into the temple of God, and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves, and said unto them, It is written, My house shall be called the house of prayer, but you've made it a den of thieves. And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. And when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were sore displeased, and said unto him, Hearest thou what these say? And Jesus saith unto them, Yea, have ye never read out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise? Now this is Palm Sunday, and it reminds us of that time when Jesus went into Jerusalem. And in a very public way, the Lord Jesus Christ had been east of that area, and he had healed Zacchaeus there in Jericho, and they were coming back, and they were headed toward Jerusalem. They stopped by Bethany, and it was there that a lot of people came because they wanted to see Jesus. They had heard about the man that he had healed and raised from the dead, Lazarus. That would be a pretty big thing, wouldn't it? If somebody could make that claim today and prove it, that'd be a pretty big claim. And so Jesus had done that, and they came to see Jesus, and they came to see Lazarus because he was alive and walking around. And there were multitudes that were in that area, and there were people all over Jerusalem. It was the time of the Passover, so they came from all parts of Israel to Jerusalem, to the temple. And there were so many that would be camped out around there for this special festive occasion called the Passover. It was a big day for them. It was a time that we would think of as springtime. It was a time where all of this occasion going on would remind us of light and enlightenment and the sunshine. Jerusalem is in the same latitude just about as Fort Worth and Dallas in that area. And after the first full moon or the vernal equinox, there would have the light breaking through in a very tremendous way. And it was a good time for the Passover and to remind them of what God had done for them in the years that had gone by in the Passover. Hundreds of thousands of people came. Josephus said there may have been at times as many as a million pilgrims that had come to the one city, the city of Jerusalem. Big day. And on that day, Jesus did something he had never done before. On that day, this big day, Jesus revealed himself, and the multitude was there, and he did some things in a very public way that he was not accustomed to doing. One of the things he did was he rode an animal. Most of the time, he would walk. And we don't find any other times that I'm aware of in the Bible where he rode an animal, but he walked. But on this occasion, he rode an animal, and he rode the colt of an ass, a young, unbroken colt. Maybe the mother walked along beside them, but he showed us that he was sovereign God, and he was in control of everything. And so on this occasion, he rode this colt, and the colt was symbolic of victory. It was symbolic of triumph. And he didn't come on a white steed because he was humble. And he was not going to conquer through military power, but through going to the cross and dying on the cross. That's how he was going to conquer. And then, on this occasion, he prepared for the publicity of himself. That was something he was not accustomed to doing. He had it, but he wasn't accustomed to doing it. He had never before prepared for it. He had run from it most all occasions that we are aware of in the Word of God. Isaiah 42:3 says, "A bruised reed shall he not break." And this is talking about Christ. "And the smoking flax shall he not quench." A smoking flax is a candle. That's what he's talking about. He wouldn't even put out a candle to draw attention to himself. He came meek and lowly. "He shall bring forth judgment unto truth." Never before had he in a public way let everybody know who he was and set that up so that it would be public. When Jesus Christ, when the dove, the Holy Spirit, came upon him, as far as we know, only Jesus and God the Father and John the Baptist saw that. He didn't make a lot of hoopla about it. That was not the way he did it. When he was fighting the devil and the temptations that he went through with the devil, he did it alone, didn't he? And he didn't, He whipped the devil, but he didn't have a crowd around him to show that he had done that. The devil tried to get him to jump off of the pinnacle of the temple, and he could have. And he could have saved himself from dashing on the rocks below. But he would not do that because it was not yet the hour. It was not time to draw that to himself. And he did not want to be a spectacle among the people. Whenever he healed people, maybe the lepers, the blind, whoever it might be, what did he usually say to them? He would say to them, "Go and tell no man." Do you ever wonder why he would do that? He would say, after that had happened, "Go and don't tell anybody about it." In other words, it's not my time. This is not the time for that to happen. The daughter of Jairus, the time of that, and just a few that were allowed there when they went in that room, And he allowed only Peter, James, and John, just a few, didn't make a big deal out of it. The transfiguration, what a great day that was. What a tremendous thing that was when he was transfigured. But only three there in those two that came back from heaven. People were crying out for him that they would crown him king. And he stopped them and he called his disciples and apostles over to the side and said, "This is not right. This is not the time." He would call them alone. Read it in John 14, 15, and 17. You have all of that there. It was always pretty quiet and pretty unpublished as far as Jesus was concerned. But now he goes public. Now he wants everybody to know. Now he reveals this to all of these people. And I think there are three great public presentations of the Lord that are given to us in the Word of God. Presentations that would show that he was really the Messiah, that he was really God in the flesh. The promised Messiah, the King of Jerusalem. And one of those, of course, is this occasion that we have right here on Palm Sunday when he rode the donkey there, the little colt, into Jerusalem. After he looked at Jerusalem and wept and cried over Jerusalem and then went in there. Thousands upon thousands of Jews were there. They were waiting on that occasion. The scribes were there too. The religious crowd, the Pharisees, they were there. And they were crying, the people were crying out, Hosanna. That word meant save us. Now it is translated most of the time, glory to God. Hosanna to God in the highest. Glory to God in the highest. And they knew, the scribes and the Pharisees knew exactly what he was talking about. Luke tells us in 19:40 these words, and he answered and said unto them, and they told him they shouldn't do that. He said, let me tell you something about the rocks. I tell you that if these should hold their peace, these thousands that are crying Hosanna, the stones would immediately cry out. There's no problem to glorify him and even to have the stones and the pavement tile to cry out that he was God and to cry out Hosanna. He said, if they don't do it, even these stones could do it. What he is saying is they are right. Well, the Sanhedrin did not like that. But Jesus went before the Sanhedrin, and as he was there, they asked him, and he never made a big to-do about it before, but they said, are you the Son of God? Now he is brought to public. Now he's brought to a type of a questioning and a type of a trial. And they said, are you the Son of God? And Jesus absolutely admitted that he was the Son of God. And that was the occasion where he did it. He didn't get involved in the political world. He wasn't trying to persuade Rome to give him his kingdom. That had nothing to do with it. He was not involved politically. He was involved spiritually with all of these things. And he did not deny that he was the Christ. And he was saying, now it's time. Now it's covenant time to show the covenant that I made with the Jews about Messiah. And the king was going to be presented. And here it was on Palm Sunday that he would be presented. And so we have the beautiful occasion where Jesus said, now it's time for everybody to know who I am. I'm God. I'm the Messiah. And that's what they were crying out. And he let them do it on that occasion. Now, it wasn't the final thing, but he did publicly not deny who he was, and he let the world know about it. Another public presentation of Jesus was at his death. Jesus died in a public way. God the Father wanted it to be open to the eyes of all mankind, so to speak, and so it was planned by God in the Trinity that Jesus would die in a public way. And on the 10th day of the month, Nisan, this was a time that going back to the Passover, they set aside the Passover lamb, the very day. And this was what God wanted to be done on this day. It was the day when the lamb was chosen and the lamb was set aside. It was the day of the Old Testament Passover, which I recently preached about. The time when the blood was shed by the lamb, and a lamb had to be set aside without spot or blemish. And that blood had to go on the doorpost and the lintels, which is a magnificent picture of the cross work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Where did God tell him to put the blood? Behind the house? On the back door? No, he said put it on the front door publicly. So when the death angel came by, the death angel could see it. And anybody else would know that the blood had been applied and that the blood was essential and the blood was absolutely necessary in order for them to be spared the night of the Passover. And now this sacrifice, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the atoning sacrifice, it's time to reveal that he's the Lamb of God and that he's going to die eventually on the cross. And now that he would reveal to the people, and God said, I want everybody to know who he is. That's why on the cross it was stated in three languages. It was stated in Hebrew and Greek and Latin, the predominant languages of the world in that day, so that publicly everybody would know that Jesus was the Son of God and that he died on the cross for our sins. The world of religion was told. They were religious, but they had missed the Messiah. The people of culture had to face the reality that he was indeed the Messiah, that he was dying for the sins of the world. And the government, they didn't think much about it, but God wanted all of them to know that Jesus was the only way to heaven, that he's the only Savior. And all of that still needs to be known. All of those still need to know today. And where was he crucified? On a public highway, right near a public highway. Why not way off somewhere where nobody could see it? Because God wanted people to see it. Because God wanted people to see what was going on. The sacrifice of the Son of God that was being given for a lost and dying world. He could have done it privately, but he didn't. Abraham went up on a mountain by himself privately and shed the blood of the goat, the sacrifice. And had this been done privately, had Jesus died privately way out there somewhere, it would have still been okay, and God would still have accepted his blood. And his blood would still atone for our sins, but that wasn't the sovereign plan and the elective plan of Almighty God. This was not God's plan. You see, God wanted the whole world to know who Jesus Christ is. Not God's plan. The elders there wanted to kill Jesus Christ. But they said, not on the feast day. We're not going to kill him on the feast day. Well, that's God's plan, that he would not be killed on the feast day. But then he would go to the cross at the time that God had chosen. The Pharisees were there. There were rites. But God said, let me tell you, no matter what you do, I'm going to overrule you, and it's going to take place when I want it to take place. And it's going to take place where I want it to take place. And it's going to take place so that all people will know that this is my Son and that he is dying for the sins of the world. Paul, when he faced Agrippa, said, oh, Agrippa, you know that this thing was not done in a corner. The people knew that Jesus had been crucified, buried, and arose from the grave. And so the blood was shed openly, publicly. Our Lamb dying for us. Our Passover Lamb on the cross of Calvary. And I want to tell you today, I've trusted that Lamb. I have trusted him as my Lord and Savior. I've trusted the blood. I believe that he died on that old rugged cross. I believe that he ought to receive from us the words, Hosanna, glory to God in the highest, the Savior, the one who saves us. And I can tell you today, I thank God I've trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. Rome, the Roman Empire, did you ever wonder why they chose to persecute Christians when they didn't persecute other religions? They had every kind of god you could have. And they built a magnificent temple called the Pantheon. And in the Pantheon, they had all these little niches. And if you came up with a god, they'd give you a little statue, and you could put it in that niche and worship all of that. And they had a statue of Caesar out in front of it. And you could bow down before him. You could worship Caesar. And they stated in their language that Caesar is God. And so you had all of these gods, and you had Caesar that they wanted them to worship. But the Christians said, no, no, we're not going to put Jesus in the Pantheon with other gods. And we're not going to put him in there with Caesar as if Caesar is equal with him. We will not do that. He is God. He is the Son of God, the only true and living God. And they said, no, Caesar's Lord. The Christians said, no, Caesar's not Lord. He is not God. The first 3 centuries of the church was a bloodbath. I mean, Christians were killed and murdered. And the only thing they had to do was deny Christ and they could live. What would you do today if the government tells you you worship a statue, and if you don't worship a statue, then you're going to be killed? But those Christians said, absolutely not. The church at Smyrna was one of those churches you read about in Revelation. Polycarp, if history is right, was a member of that. And we know that it was the persecuted church, a terrible time. But they knew that Jesus was Lord. And we ought to know that today. And may I say to all of us and to you young people today, don't be ashamed of Jesus Christ. He is Lord. Stand up for Him. Live for Him. They were not ashamed. They would not bow down to the culture of their day and the gods of their day. They said, we're following Jesus Christ, and if it cost us our death, bring it on. We'll die for the Lord Jesus Christ. And they were telling the truth, because many of them did. But Jesus, God, lifted up the cross so that people would see publicly that Jesus died. Then there's another time, and we don't have time to develop this a long ways, but there's another time when there's going to be a public presentation of Jesus Christ. And that time is when He returns. And He is coming back. He's going to return. Revelation tells us in chapter 1, verse 7, behold, He cometh with clouds, and every knee shall see Him, and they also which pierce Him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of Him. Even so, amen. He's coming again. Multitudes saw Him before on that day, the day of Palm Sunday and Passover in that era. But let me tell you, one of these days, the whole world is going to see that He is Lord. Unfortunately, some of them aren't going to be ready. They're not going to be saved. But He'll come back for His saints. And then 7 years later, with His saints. You don't come for and with at the same time. But He comes for His saints. Later, He comes back with His saints to the earth. And He sets up His kingdom. And the Bible says the skies will be rolled back. What a day that's going to be. Thank God, what a day that's going to be. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Every eye shall see Him, He said, and those that pierced Him. John saw a lot of things. John saw the nails that were driven into His hands. And he saw the crown that was thrust on His brow. And he saw when they put a sword in the side of the Lord Jesus Christ. He saw that, I believe. All of those people someday will be confronted with the Lord Jesus Christ. Those who reject Him now will be confronted with the Lord Jesus Christ, and there are many that are rejecting Him. The majority of the people are rejecting Him as Savior, but they will confront the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says that families and tribes in that day are going to wail because they waited too late, because they didn't trust Christ as their Savior. Lost person, you need to be prepared. The only way to be prepared, and God has publicly shown the world, there's no doubt about it, and history proclaims it to be true, that Jesus died publicly on the cross, shed His blood for your sins, was buried, and thank God arose, and is at the right hand of the Father, and someday He's coming back again. And you need to be saved. Because if you don't get saved and trust Him as your Savior, you'll die without Christ and be separated from Him for all of eternity. Saved people, thank God it means to us we have the victory. Thank God we have the victory. He came. He lived in His body. He never sinned. He rode in publicly proclaiming who He was on that day. And then He went to the cross and proved it. And He's coming again someday, and the whole world will know that He is the Savior. And I want to tell you, we are victors. 1 Corinthians 15:54. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Death is swallowed up in victory. Aren't you glad we can quote that as believers? If you're not saved, you can't quote that for yourself. You can quote it, but it doesn't apply to you. You have to be born again. And so what does God give us? He announced it publicly. He gives us immortality in heaven. He gives us triumph. Thank God. He gives us heaven. Jesus Christ. And He wanted the whole world to know. God wanted the whole world to know. And He wants you to know today that Jesus died for you and He loves you. And He'll save you if you'll come to Him. And He also wants us who are saved to so appreciate it. To so be in love with Jesus Christ that we'd yield our lives to Him and walk in holiness, get rid of sin, bring honor and glory to Him. He deserves to be said about Him, Hosanna, in the way you live. Amen. Glory to God in the highest. When you live right, you're saying Hosanna to Him. You need to live right. We don't need to live contrary to the will of God. And then John said what we all ought to feel today. Even so, say it with me. Come, Lord Jesus. Let's stand, please. Our heads are bowed. We'll have our prayer. And we'll invite you to come. May God help you to come to be saved today, to trust Christ. He died for you on the cross of Calvary. No doubt about it. You can come and be saved. And there are some Christians here today who need to rededicate your lives to this wonderful Savior. Hosanna. God save us. To God be the glory. To Jesus be the glory. And you need to live for Him. Maybe God is leading you to join our church. May God help you, whatever it may be, to come. Father, thank You for Your word. May You use it as You see fit. Oh, God, I pray for those that are unsaved, that they'd be saved today. They'd come to Jesus. I pray for Christians who have needs in their lives spiritually, that they would get those things right as they go back and look at the cross and at the day You revealed who You were. When on that Sunday You came and rode that donkey into Jerusalem. And then to be reminded, You're coming back. You're coming back. Hallelujah to Thy name. Speak to our hearts. And we'll give You the glory for results. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. While we sing, may God help you to come. Would you meet me down front if you want to be saved? I'll tell you how to be saved. Somebody will. Would you come?